1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And for just a few minutes this evening, I want us to consider our life's work tested. I'll start at the beginning of chapter 3, and we'll read through the text and then make a few points. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So with this, Paul is telling the Corinthians about building, Paul being a wise master building, and how they are building, and we need to look at this to make some application to our own life. There's only one foundation on which the church of Christ can be laid. Paul laid that foundation when he preached in Corinth that Jesus is the Christ. So the foundation is the basis of everything. Everything that we must build on must be built on that foundation. When Peter confessed his faith in Jesus, saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said unto him, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What was that rock? The confession that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the foundation on which we build everything. Now, there's some controversy as to what constitutes the rock on which Christ would build his church. Some denominations say it was Peter and not the confession. But Paul says Christ is the only foundation that can be laid. If we miss that point, everything that follows is going to be off. 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So there are several thoughts going on as Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's talking about building. He's talking about himself being a wise master builder. He's talking about the temple, this temple that they would all be familiar with. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the word of life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So again, when he's talking about planting and watering, whoever does that, that is inconsequential, because it's God is the one that gives the increase. We do our work like we're supposed to. We work on building this house. We each have our part, but God is the one that is going to give the increase. But it all starts with a foundation. You see some places where a development goes in, and they go and they lay the foundation, and it may be a builder that's not quite reputable, and they use cheap materials, and you'll see in a short time that foundation may start to crumble. It may not be solid. It may shift. It may change. And you see, too, when people build on some foundation other than Christ, other than his word, you see that happening in the denominations. You see that happening in the brotherhood, where they are building on some man instead of on the word of God. Paul is a master builder, is here dealing with some fundamental facts concerning the Christian's life and work. So this applies to all of us. A foundation. The foundation which Paul laid at Corinth is Jesus Christ. That's what we lay here. That's what every congregation should be laying. Jesus Christ. When we are teaching the lost, that's the foundation that we should be laying, that Jesus is the Christ. The words another and each man are too indefinite to apply to Apollos, rather having application to all who labor in God's building. Paul's consistent teaching is that the church of Christ is an holy temple of the Lord. Just as the temple in Jerusalem was constructed and built was a holy temple, we as Christians are to be holies. The church of Christ is an holy temple of the Lord. It's made up of Christians whose hearts of God seek to make his dwelling place. God wants to dwell on our hearts. We have to be holy. 1 Corinthians 6:16-18. Now, the Greek word for defile is, and this is the word listed up here, which Thayer's lexicon defines as to lead away the church from that state of knowledge and holiness in which it ought to abide. And in an ethical sense, to corrupt, deprave. So to defile something is to take something that is holy and make it common, to lead it away, to lead the church of Christ, the church that he shed his blood for, he purchased with his own blood, to defile it is to take it and lead it away into something else, to change his teaching. Paul will build on this point in chapters 5 and 6. And remember, when you get to chapter 6, verses 8 through 11, he lists a catalog of sins. Everything that the Corinthians were, you think of a sin, it's probably listed there. And he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. They were made holy. They were made pure. They were made clean. So no man can begin anywhere else. We can't build on some man's doctrine. We can't build on our own beliefs. And this is important today when so many build their Christianity without Christ. They build their Christianity on a foundation of good works. That's what so many places in town do. Look, we will give you free food. We'll give you free clothes. We'll give you haircuts. We'll do this. We'll do that. That's not the foundation of Christ. They build their building on a foundation of good works, humanism, emotionalism. Of course, this is not the only metaphor of Christ's preeminence in his kingdom. We talk about Christ being the door of the sheepfold. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the head of the body. Many other illustrations, but here Paul is using the illustration of the temple. And Paul is speaking of the church consisting of the believers of all nations, of which the church is the foundation. Christ is the foundation. And it's evident that the materials built on this foundation, gold, silver, etc., cannot represent doctrines, but the disciples of Christ. No passage of Scripture is the temple or the church of God said to consist of doctrines. It consists of people, consists of the disciples, of Christ who are called living stones, built up a spiritual house or temple, 1 Peter 2. So the church should be built of true Christians, the proper material, not worldly-minded hypocrites or those who place the teachings of men on par with the teaching of God. Sometimes you might start listening to something on the radio or somewhere, and the person will refer to this man's book or that man's book more than the Bible. Friends, they're building on the wrong foundation. And what is so important about this too, the day of judgment will reveal the true character of all who are in the church. Verse 13, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. The day that he's talking about is when Christ returns, the day of judgment. Only the judgment day will reveal what is and what is not part of the true temple of God, according to Christ himself, and it's going to be made up of many surprises. You turn to Matthew 7, and Jesus speaking, beginning at verse 15, says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." There are a lot of men standing in pulpits today, even women standing in pulpits, and I don't see how somebody think they can have authority for that. But they appear as a sheep standing before someone, but inwardly, Jesus calls them ravenous wolves. They're going to destroy the people. "You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" You see, this isn't something that just started happening today. It was happening back at the time of Christ. Men were building on the wrong foundation. The scribes and Pharisees were building on their tradition. They were not building on the law. They were building on tradition. Christ was calling them hypocrites. And they would come and say, "Look at all of this good that we did. Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? Didn't we do this by your authority?" And he says, "Uh-uh. Many will say to me in that day, 'Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. You depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or iniquity.'" That's practicing without law, practicing without authority, without the name of Christ. And just because somebody says they're doing something in the name of Christ doesn't mean that Christ said to do that. When we get to Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And he goes through a list of things, six different things that he mentions. "I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." That might have been seven, six or seven things. Then the righteous will answer saying, "Lord, when did we see you?" And he goes on and says, "To the least that you did it to these, you've done it unto me." And see, so many people do things for show. They do things for show and to be seen of men. And if they do that and they receive the glory of men, that's the only glory they're going to have. And when they receive glory from men, they're robbing God of his glory, because he is the one that gets the glory. And again, people will do something big so that everybody will look and say, "Oh, what a great work you're doing." And some places will even market that and promote that. "Oh, look at the great work that we are doing here. Look at everything that we are doing here." Christ isn't going to judge us that way. He's going to judge us what we do individually, what we do in secretly, not that nobody knows, but just the things that we do privately. He's going to judge us on those things. Then they also will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See, they were building on the wrong foundation. They were building on the foundation of pride. So when we think about the church, the temple of God, that's one of the beautiful metaphors of God's church. There are other metaphors: the bride of Christ, the vineyard of the Lord, the household of God, on and on. But the temple of the God that Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about is this beautiful picture of this building. So when we think about our life's work tested, again, we start with a foundation has been laid. Upon this rock, Christ, I will build my church. The gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's that solid foundation. And since God the Father has purposed to build his church and his kingdom on that rock, which is Christ, let us have the faith of God and build our life on him. Other foundation can no one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. A foundation was needed, first by God himself, in which to build the structure of his redeemed church. Second, by man, on which to build his hopes for this life and the life to come. The foundation has been laid by the hand of infinite wisdom. You stop and think about this. The foundation was laid as deep as the grave and as stable as the eternal throne. That foundation all the way down from the grave, all the way up to the throne in heaven. I've heard it said many times, you can take an engineer to a city and let him look at a hole in the ground. Sometimes you're driving around and you see a block barricaded and they have dug down deep. And they say an engineer can look at how deep that hole is and tell you how tall that skyscraper is going to be because of the foundation. The foundation that the church was built on is as deep as the grave and as high as the throne. We have a sure foundation. Never let anyone make fun of our foundation. Never let anyone make fun of the Church of Christ, because no other foundation can any man lay. And it is the foundation that we build our lives on. So a foundation has been laid. The next step then, a structure is being raised. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. And in this section, we have two different classes of builders. Back like in Matthew chapter 7, the wise man and the foolish man, we have this in different terminology here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have the wise builder who builds gold, silver, precious stones. He puts in this foundation that which is consistent with its precious character. These are the stones that we are putting into our foundation. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones, Revelation 21. Jasper, sapphire, emerald, other of these precious stones went into this foundation. And we as living stones, Christ being the chief cornerstone, are building up the church, the temple. So we have this structure that's being raised. The wise builder who builds on these, is he's careful about the things that he teaches, the things that he does, what he puts into his mind, what he puts into his heart. He's careful about his manner of life, 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7. There's laid down a whole load of suitable material for a wise builder. For this very reason, giving all diligence, here are some things we need to build in our foundation and our structure that we're raising. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Those are the things we need to be building in our life each and every day. Well, this is contrasted again with the foolish builder. He uses wood, hay, stubble, timber, hay, straw. The foolish builder is wise in his own conceit. He thinks as long as you believe in the foundation, it matters little what you build upon it. And there are so many people like that today, again, in denominations and in the brotherhood. They'll say, all you have to do is believe in Christ. You believe that Christ is the Son of God. You need to be baptized. And don't worry about the details. They are building on their own conceit. A false teaching comes along, vain philosophies, and the proud in the heart are attracted to that. It's back, Lord, like what we were saying earlier. How can people believe in things like that? Part of it is the pride of life. And something other than God's word appeals to them. But God's word, Christ is the only foundation. And back to those houses we talked about, you can see somebody building a house and you go by that development years later and you might see it has, again, slid off the foundation crumbled, different things happened to it, and eventually that house that was built is going to tumble. It's going to come down. It's being tested with time. It's tested with the elements. Our life is tested with time. Our life is tested with the elements, the things that are in the world. A man can be careless and indifferent in practice. This foolish builder, his faith in Christ has brought no change in his life and outlook. He still believes in building with wood, hay, and stubble. These are after the tradition of men and not after Christ. Paul, writing to the Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 8, said, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So much of what we hear today we could label under philosophy, the ideas of man. And it's put on par with the gospel truth. And friends, it isn't. It isn't. Why is this important? Because a testing time is coming. That day in which the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 13. The foundation has already been tried. We go back to Isaiah 28. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." Friends, this is the most important point of the lesson. We must be building on that true foundation, that solid foundation. We must be building our life on the foundation of Christ, because this testing time is coming. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, even when the proud and all that do iniquity shall be stubble." Malachi 4:1. Just as sure as we are here and just as sure as we are building our life, there's a testing day that is coming. But people don't like to think about that. "If the proud and the workers of iniquity are reckoned as stubble, so also are the works of the proud, self-seeking Christians." This fiery test is not to reveal whether we are Christians or not, but whether our works as Christians are worthy of Christ or not. Is our worship worthy? Our practice, our daily life, our work, our benevolence, our missions, the way we do things, is it built on that foundation? That depends on their own intrinsic character, whether they are gold or wood or silver or hay, precious stone or stubble. What they are will determine their destiny. What we are will determine our destiny. And friends, we can know what our destiny is by what we choose to build on and what materials we choose to build on. If we build on all of these materials, and like Peter said, we know this house is going to stand. So we have to ask ourselves, are we building on the foundation? Are we building every day? And will your life's building, your life's work, will it stand when Christ returns? And again, there are many word pictures used to describe the church. The temple of God, the household of God. But friends, we got to be in the church if we want to be saved. We've got to be baptized into Christ to be added to that church that has Christ as his as the foundation, and then start building. We have to remember our life's work is going to be tested. No foundation can anyone lay than that which is Christ. We must be in Christ. We must be building on that foundation, and we must be ready. Friends, are you ready for that day when we will be tested? If not, you need to make your life right so you will be ready. If there's anyone that needs to respond this evening, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.